Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
28 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Tischer is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Mark Brocker, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Father, on this Memorial Day, 1984, we remember those who have given their lives for the sake of freedom and justice for all. Give us courage to be instruments of your peace in the world so that their sacrifice will not have been in vain. Give our representatives the patience and presence of mind they need to persevere to the end of this legislative session. Help them use the remaining time wisely so that the pressing needs of their fellow Alaskans may be met. Where there is any misunderstanding among them, help them seek understanding and grant to all of us a full measure of your mercy. We ask these things and whatever else you see that we need in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 139th and 140th legislative days?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 139th and 140th days.
Representative Barnes.
Unanimous consent that the journal for the 139th and 40th legislative days be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Hayes, I've signed the following bills and read the following resolutions, and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 382 Finance, relating to the payment of costs of postmortem examinations, autopsies, embalming, and related services, effective date, Chapter 58, SLA 1984. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 38 Hess, relating to the teaching of sign language, Legislative Resolve Number 59. Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 51, Resources Amended, relating to the appointment of a Delta Junction Bison Range Advisory Committee, Legislative Resolve Number 58. Committee Substitute for House Bill 552, Finance, making special appropriations for development of the Delta Junction Bison Range, effective date, Chapter 59, SLA 1984. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration, honoring Eric Rested and honoring Dwayne Toth. The Senate has approved the following citation, and it was transmitted to Legislative Affairs for enrolling, honoring the Diamond Links tennis team. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337 Resources, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337 Resources, Delta Junction Bison Range. The Senate appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 431 Finance and Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 431 Finance, Purchase of Residential Child Care Services, effective date, Senator Josephson, Chairman, Senator Gilman, and Senator Fahrenkamp. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 517, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 517, Labor and Commerce, Workers' Compensation, effective date. The President granted the limited powers of free conference to the Senate members of the Conference Committee as requested on Senate Bill 519 and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 519 Finance, State Support for Education. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 539 Judiciary, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 539 Judiciary Amended House, Community Work as Part of a Criminal Sentence. The Senate passed and returned House Bill 654, Alaska Foreign Offices, effective date, and this bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 707, Finance Amended, with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 707, Finance Amended, Senate, Lobbying, effective date, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill 532 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. an act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loan associations, and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 532 is referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
We're in receipt of from the Department of Revenue Audit Division, Fisheries and Mining Tax Unit, a report has been prepared on the Fisheries and Mining Tax Unit at, on the canned salmon average wholesale price report. Excuse me. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Rules has had Senate Bill 186 amended, relating to named recipient grants under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 186 rules with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Hayes, M.M. Miller, Liska, and Fuller. Phillips has no recommendation. Senate Bill 186 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 346, Judiciary amended, treatment of mentally ill persons under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 346, Hess, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Hayes, Malone, Liska, and Bussell. Senate Bill 346 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at committee substitute for Senate Bill 527, Finance amended, State and Municipal Tax Exemptions, under consideration. Reports it back as follows. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, signing do pass, Cato and M.W. Miller. Signing do not pass, Locker. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Sund. Senate Bill 527 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on State Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 549 rules relating to games of chance and contests of skill under consideration and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing do pass, Abood, and Locker. Having no recommendation, Cowdery, M.M. Miller, Ward, and Larson. Senate Bill 549 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, considered Senate Bill 519 and House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 519, Finance, State Support for Education, and recommends that Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 519 relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Sackett Chairman Bennett and V. Fisher, by the House members, Adams Chairman Bettesworth, signed do pass, and Duncan has no recommendation. I better put it up here. The Conference Committee, with powers of limited free conference, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 511, Finance, and Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 511, Finance, amended Senate, making appropriations and capital expenses of state government, under consideration, recommends that Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 511, an act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government effective date, be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Sackett Chairman Bennett and V. Fisher, by the House members, Adams Chairman and Bettesworth, signed do pass, and Duncan has no recommendation. This bill is being duplicated and will be in the limbo file. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Fran Rusk by Representatives Fuller and Senator Ferguson. I have no bills for introduction, no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar, Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 190 by Herman, an act making a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the cities of Non-Dalton and New Whalen for road construction and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 190 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 190, Transportation, with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent and a fiscal note. Report was signed by Ms. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Herman, M.W. Miller, Locker, Phillips, and Cato. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 190, Finance, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettesworth, Martin, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, and Fritz. Having no recommendation, Lindauer, Duncan, and Jaroff. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 190 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 190 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 190 Finance by the Finance Committee. An act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Representative Duncan.
Comments on the bill, if I could. I'm going to, Mr. Speaker, vote against House Bill 190. I want to explain exactly why I'm doing that. As we're all aware, this is the third time for many of these capital projects. They were sent up with the early capital budget. They were sent up a second time and returned by the governor. Now they're being sent up a third time. In addition to that, Mr. Speaker, there are some additional projects that were never before the governor that are in this bill which really haven't undergone any in-depth scrutiny. There's some projects of statewide nature. There's also some projects that were just put into various districts around the state. Mr. Speaker, I don't think the process worked very well in putting this particular capital budget together. My main reason, Mr. Speaker, for voting against this bill, however, is that I'm concerned where the legislature is going on total spending for this legislative session. Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure that anyone has been counting, or at least if they've been counting, they haven't been doing it so that everyone's aware of how much money is available for appropriation and how much money is going to be spent this legislative session. And I believe that this legislature in 1984 is going along the same paths that the legislature did under the leadership of the Republican coalition 3 years ago when you overspent. I believe there's a real danger that the total amount of money that's going to be appropriated by this legislature is going to exceed the amount of money that's available for appropriation. And, Mr. Speaker, until we know what that number is and until we've got a clear picture of that spending plan, we shouldn't be sending another $231 million of general fund money out of this body to the other body and not know for sure what's going to happen over there. Information I have, Mr. Speaker, and just by doing some counting on my own, is that we are going to be overexpended. That with the packages that's going together in the other body as far as the power projects go, with the other spending that's going on, with the closing out of the operating budget as was closed out today, that the total amount of money that will be appropriated by this legislature will exceed the amount of money that's available. Based on that, Mr. Speaker, I don't think it's very responsible to vote yes on $231 million when you know that a major portion of that is going to push the total spending of this legislature over what's available for appropriation. I would urge that perhaps you slow down just a little bit, look at what the total amount of money is that's available, look at your spending plan, if you have one. If you don't have one, you should get one because we're about 2 or 3 days from adjournment, and decide how much we can really afford to appropriate. If you don't do that, what's going to happen, of course, is you're going to send up a whole bunch of money to the governor. He's then going to have the duty and the responsibility to reduce that amount significantly so that the total amount that we're sending up does not exceed that available for appropriation. Speaker, based on that, I'm going to vote against this bill, and I would encourage others to do likewise.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on the capital bill, the representative from Juneau is correct that we did basically add a few more projects, and we put in the $179 million for the veto projects. But some of the items that we put on were the governor's priorities, such as the Susitna for $32 million, Eklutna for $34 million, Anchorage Intertie for $18.6 million, the Pribilofs, not $6 million, but $8.6 million, Homer Road and Drainage for $1.7 million, Naldalton-New Halen Road for $2 million. The school problem we have with asbestos in Anchorage for $4 million. There is a Copper River bypass, but out of that 10.5, 9.9 is federal funds. But I don't know where my friend has been from Juneau as far as the spending plan. A spending plan since the day that we arrived here has been always available to every member of this body if they wanted to get a spending plan. It has been updated on a week by week. Let me go over the spending plan as of May 28, 1984, which is always available to you. The balance as of July 1st, 1984, we had 79.9. The revenues for FY84 was 3,418.4. The FY84 loans repayment that we received was $24 million. The estimated lapse for FY84 was $100 million. In FY83, the session, we appropriated $2,830.6. We transferred to the permanent fund $300 million. The exploratory well drilling credits that we had to give out were $12 million. Reserve for supplement for SB 409, which is still over at Senate, we have estimated that at 21.4. FY84 supplemental calendar. We remember those bills as SB 403, 364, 420, House Bill 635, 636, and 637, with a total of $227.6 million. The supplemental calendar, supplemental capital, SB 94 that we remember, we appropriated 50.7. The balance as of July 1st, 1984, was $185 million. The projected revenues for FY84 was $3,418.2. Under that, we estimate loan repayments of $24 million again, the loan lapse of $50 million. This morning, we just signed House Bill 511, is the operating budget. That came in general funds of $1,945.9, which include revenue sharing, municipal assistance, and the foundation entitlement. We know the front section has in there for oil and gas litigation at 11.1, the Tobluk consent creed of 10.4. There was the FY85 contingency snow and ice removal for $1 million, oil spill mitigation fund for $300,000. You know that we got the FY85 loan package coming over at us, which is House Bill 650. We pass that at 150.5. The debt retirement of 169.5. The school debt retirement at $95 million. Again, we've got to give an exploratory well drilling credit of $12 million. There is the FY85 capital, which is House Bill 691 we passed, 487.5. New legislation, we're still debating on a fiscal note on the Alaska Railroad at $30 million. House Bill 684, which has the big package of energy, the power cost equalization of 21.7, paying off the four dam pools of $210 million. The power development fund for Susitna at $200. The power development fund for Bradley at $50 million. House Bill 190 that is before us this morning is at 231.9. Other legislation that we have in fiscal notes that went before us this morning is at 15.7. The longevity bonus increase to the operating budget at 14.6. This, Mr. Speaker, has been the spending plan. We had, which is always available to every member, shows a net balance of 18.1, but is subject to change. We presently have, and I'd urge member to vote for this capital.
Representative Miller.
Did I understand that the Chairman of Finance expects that there will be a surplus left over of $18 million?
Representative Adams.
That is correct.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if the Chairman would be interested in a little arrangement with me, whereas I'll give him a dollar for every $1 million that we're over, if he'll give me a dollar for every $1 million that we that the fiscal people come up indicating we're under.
Representative Wente?
Yes, I'd request that the finance chairman make that form available to the pages so that we would have that. I'd appreciate that if he has it prepared.
Representative Adams?
This particular form has been available when the session first started on a weekly basis. The representative from Ketchikan could come up to my office any time and request any one of those.
Representative Bettesworth?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The minority leader wishes to make that as a serious gamble. I'll take it.
Shall I hold the money? Representative Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to hold the money because I know who's going to win. The minority leader is going to win on this one. Mr. Speaker, I've also got a spending plan here in front of me on a piece of paper, and some of the figures that the finance chairman read off were correct, and some of them I've got different, and some of them he's got different, so I guess we can quibble over numbers. But the bottom line is we're either going to spend more than we've got or we're going to spend right to what we've got. The information I have indicates that the available revenues for appropriation is $3,957,900,000. Based on what's happening now with the various bills that are floating through the Senate, the other body, and this body, the amount that we're going to appropriate is $4,052,000,000, and that leaves us $94 million over expended. Now, sure, that can change a little bit here and there at the end, and it may increase. We may be further over, or it may decrease. So we'll spend exactly what we've got. We had $3.9 billion available, and we'll spend $3.9 billion, and maybe we'll even save $18 million. Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not too sure that's anything to be proud of. I'm not too sure that's anything to be proud of when you go and you home and you say, we had about $4 billion available, and we did a great job because we spent every dime of it. We didn't leave anything on the table for next year. We didn't leave anything on the table in case some kind of emergency comes along. We appropriated every dime of it, and we did that by, on the last day of the legislative session, passing a capital budget of $231 million after the governor had vetoed it twice. We did that by putting together some type of a plan that calls for continuing appropriations of over $300 million. We spent every dime. We didn't overexpend. We spent every dime. I wouldn't even be proud to say that, Mr. Speaker, but I think the other possibility is even greater, the possibility that you're going to be spending more money than you've got. You've done that before, and you're going to do it again, and the only way out of that situation is the man on the third floor then writes the final spending plan, because he, with his red pen, will reduce down to the level that's necessary. And he should, and he will. He's required to. But there's one big thing that's missing off of both of these spending plans, which I think the public wants to see, and it's not there. We've got $3.9 billion, almost $4 billion, available for appropriation, and we're spending it all, and I have a list here, and the finance chairman read through his list, and the one thing that's missing is we're not saving anything. There's no saving at all. We're spending every dime. There's no additional, no money left in additional deposit into the permanent fund, and there's still some authorized deposits that can be made by the governor. We have enough money to do that with. In order for him to deposit additional money to the permanent fund, he's going to have to go in and reduce drastically on either these capital projects or on some other area of spending that we're sending to him. I hope he does that. I hope he does reduce, and I hope he does deposit money to the permanent fund as he should. Mr. Speaker, my only point is that's not a very responsible approach for this body to take. We're charged with the responsibility of appropriating the revenues. We shouldn't be appropriating every dime we've got. If we're going to appropriate every dime we got, a certain amount of it should be appropriated into the savings account. And that's the part that's missing out of this spending plan. Nothing is going into savings. Nothing is going into the permanent fund. It's all going to capital budgets, continuing appropriations from here until the next 7 years, whatever other fine little plan we can think up in the next couple of days in order to get this thing adjourned.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I got to let the cat out of the bag. I was going to give the 1984 legislative award for Mr. Conservative Award to the finance chairman. But after hearing that beautiful speech from the gentleman from Juneau, I think that he deserves the award. I'll wait for a couple of days to see if he deserves it. But I do think that the chairman of the finance committee has done a fabulous job considering all the pressures thereof and trying to be a little more conservative. The gentleman from Juneau, that was a fabulous speech that he gave on conservative responsibility. And there are some suggestions, especially that pertaining to the permanent fund. Why aren't we saving any money? You know, almost immediately, instead of just playing the political game when it looks good for PR's sake, the governor says, well, I'm going to give another $100 million to the permanent fund dividend program, he can almost immediately put $380 million into the permanent funds. Get it out of those dirty legislative hands. Don't let them blow it on that godforsaken Ford Pool Dam program. That's a total waste of money in Southeast. I think we'll do better with a little fuel and maybe building a few more fuel tanks. We don't need to waste that money for those dams that the people say they don't need, even though they insisted on it the year before. Now, that's $210 million that we can immediately put into the Ford Pool Dam. We also have another little juicy one coming up, 409. There the governor has some add-ons, some supplemental programs, things that we didn't pass in the past, or missed evaluation of what true program costs will be. Some of it's legitimate, some of it's just extra little money they can get away with. We can probably save about $21 million in that bill immediately, and I hope the gentleman from Juneau, when that bill comes out of Senate, will help me in Finance Committee. There's four major amendments we need to do, and that's going to be $17 million immediately we can save and put back in it for into the permanent fund. Hopefully, then the governor will put that back in to the permanent funds. The gentleman said that it was Republicans, or the majority, that overspent before when we passed a bill that was $1.8 billion to be added to the permanent fund program, which I wholeheartedly support, and our good gentleman from Ketchikan made that bill, and in spite of all the pressures, it was a bunch of Democrats who saw the foresight of putting that money, that commitment of legislators, and then now we're still paying it off, which is all right. I voted for that bill, too. But you can't have it both ways. So if the gentleman from Juneau feels the governor should put more money in there and decrease in our spending, I think he can really zap the system immediately by putting the allowable $380 million immediately into the permanent fund program, and there we will have to cut back our expenditures and some of these last-minute programs that are coming off from the Senate.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if I could direct a question at the finance chair. I have looked through the finance version of House Bill 190, and unless I'm missing it somewhere, I don't see an appropriation for the student housing for UAA-ACC. And I realize there's been a lot of bills, and I'm getting confused, but it seems to me that that's been vetoed every time, so it still has not been appropriated, and it's not in this bill. And I wonder if why it isn't, and whether there's some intention that the other body might have a committee substitute for this bill that adds that money, or there's several others like that that are projects that were in the that were vetoed originally, and I had understood they were all going to be in here, and some of them aren't. That's one of them.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Some of the projects for the Anchorage area that were identified as possible vetoes the next time around, that money went into asbestos removal, and that is what you're looking at here. That particular appropriation has been put into asbestos removal for the schools in the Anchorage area.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, again, either to the majority leader or the finance chair, does that mean that we will not see an appropriation out of this legislature this year for student dormitories for the University of Alaska Anchorage or ACC?
Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, we got $11.8 million for that already.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'm just going to rise briefly for a point of geography, I guess. For about the third or fourth time, I've heard the four-dam pool referred to as Southeastern. And frankly, Mr. Speaker, we do think big, and we would like to include Kodiak Island and Valdez as part of Southeast Alaska. And, in fact, the last Republican governor did that almost in his reapportionment scheme. But as a matter of fact, only two out of the four of the dams in the four-dam pool are located in Southeastern. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 190 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
27 yeas, 10 nays.
Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 190 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for House Bill 190 Finance. Consider the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, Resources by the Resources Committee. An act relating to discharge of firearms and hunting and fishing in state parks, marine parks, wildlife preserves, and recreation areas and providing for an effective date. We are in second reading, Mr. Speaker, and I have a proposed amendment. No, I have an amendment that's been moved and is pending on my desk. And there also is a work draft copy on everybody's desk, and there is an engrossing change that should be made to that work draft copy. On page 17 and 18, those numbers 10 and 11 should be changed to 8 and 9.
Everyone understand where we are on this? Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill 190, and I do understand what's going on.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Vasca for his vote on House Bill 190. Clerk, please read amendment number 2. It is pending, and it has been moved. Representative Clarkson.
Well, let me make sure I know where we are. There has been no change by the Rules Committee?
No.
Mr. Speaker, if I can speak to the amendment then. I had become convinced at the time that this bill was returned to the Rules Committee that the amendment was a good idea, and I guess I continue to believe that absent any new information. The situation, as we now know, is that Chugach State Park is, in fact, regulated under existing law, that, in fact, shooting of firearms is allowed in certain parts of Chugach State Park and is not allowed in those areas that are close to residences and so on. I am convinced, therefore, that there is no need to include Chugach State Park in this legislation and possibly alter a status quo that I find to be perfectly satisfactory, that does take into account the rights and the wishes of those who wish to use firearms and those who do not want to be around the discharge of firearms. I'm not sure why state affairs chair? If it's not fixed, don't fix it, something like that. It seems to me that this amendment will put us back to the status quo with regard to Chugach State Park, and I think that's where we ought to be.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. True, we have hunting in Chugach State Park. Matter of fact, I was one of the founders of the Chugach State Park, why we got it in the first place, and that was to have hunting in the park. But now, at the head of Eagle River Valley, for example, we have a visitor center. Thousands of people go to that every year. I don't recall offhand just what the acreage is of the Chugach State Park, but it is one of the larger ones of the state. We have quite a few moose in Eagle River drainage itself, quite a few goat within the mountains, and a lot of sheep. These animals, when you go putting pressure on them, hunting them, for example, from the Peters Creek watershed over from the Girtwood watershed from over there, when you start putting pressure on these animals, they start moving into what you might call sanctuaries where nobody can get to them. It's just natural. You do it, and I do it. After testimony we had at Resources Committee on this, this is allocating for the Director of Parks to utilize the headwaters of Eagle River Valley, for example, for viewing of these animals within that watershed itself. Now, this leaves all the remainder of the state park open for hunting. And if I recall my figures right, that hunting is not allowed to open up anyway until Labor Day and beyond for big game animals. Of all the thousands and thousands of acres within a Chugach State Park, there should be one little section, and believe me, I'm not what you would call an environmentalist by any stretch of imagination, because I've always been a big hunter myself, big game hunter. But at least it's given these animals a chance to come into a little sanctuary in the headwaters of the valley where visitors are coming. The tourist trade is building up heavy in the state. I know a lot of you, when you drove up the highway, you come up through Canada and say, where the heck are all these animals we hear so much about, you know? I think traveling up the Alcan Highway, I saw a bear run across the road one time and a wolf. That's all I ever saw. You come into Alaska and you don't see anything. You're lucky to see a porky go across once in a while if they're in season. But I say that it's on the books now. We can hunt in a Chugach State Park. True. But I think we should be looking down the road, a little farther down the road, and all of us should do that. That if the Director of Parks wants to make the headwaters of Eagle River Valley, for example, from the tourist center, to be able to view these animals, and I can assure all of you right now, if that is fully opened up for hunting, there won't be anything to view up there.
Somebody in the Anchorage area, think back when they opened up the Rainbow Closed area. I fought that with the president of the Sportsman's Game Preservation Association. I didn't agree with it. Because, you know, a lot of us, when we drive to Seward, used to have sheep and goats you could see on the rocks above McHugh Creek. I don't think you see them anymore because they're just not there. But the hunting pressure is so great in the Anchorage area, if you open up the whole Chugach State Park for hunting, it's going to be hunted, believe me. And you can't allow these animals a chance to escape from all them hordes of hunters. And when I was able, I used to hunt those mountains all the time. Give the animals a chance, at least in the headwaters of the Eagle River Valley. If the director parks wants to close it in that particular area around the tourist center, what this does is giving him an allocation, a chance to do it. Because if you don't, they're going to move in, and they're going to wipe them out. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson?
Oh, Mr. Speaker, now I'm confused. I agreed with almost every word spoken by the last speaker. I'm not sure whether he's for the amendment or against it, and I guess I just have to ask somebody who knows a little more about this bill now. If Chugach State Park is left in this bill, that is, if it says that the discharge of firearms is permitted in Chugach State Park, and then the language down on lines 22 through 24, does that mean, as a practical fact, that there will be more areas closed to shooting? That's the issue. I agree with the prior speaker when I believe that there are wildlife viewing areas in Chugach State Park where there should not be shooting. Now, the question then is, what's the best way to get us to that point? Is it to adopt this amendment or not to adopt this amendment? Now I'm confused. That's the goal. I agree with a member from Eagle River. We should have broader areas where there is no shooting allowed in Chugach State Park. Somebody tell me how to get there from here.
Representative Bussell?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in my opinion, if you leave it in, you've broadened the areas that are now protected. If you take Chugach State Park out, or if 289 fails, you've then lessened the areas. The former speaker, as well as I do, knows that in Section 2 of the bill, there's a list of repealers. And as long as if this bill passes in that section down there, 4121-124, 4121-133, repeal the allowances in present statute that control the hunting and fishing in the state parks. And that repeals them for all of them. Only the parks listed in this bill will then be controlled by the parks directors for hunting and fishing, along with the concurrence of the Board of Fish and Game. So I hope I've made that clear. If you take Chugach State Park out of this bill and you repeal the section down here, then there's no control over it. If you either got to leave it in there, or you got to take the repealer out, one of the two.
Representative Lindar?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to request some additional clarification because I find myself agreeing with everything that everybody is saying. And I know that's impossible. And as I read this, it turns over control and closure to the Board of Game, even for the discharge of firearms for target shooting and so forth and so on. If I understand what this does, this takes away, for Chugach, which is my primary concern, this takes away the control of the director of parks, who can have closures for the purposes that the representative from Eagle River desired to allow for the viewing for the park-like purposes, and turns over the control of closure, if we allow this to occur, it turns over the control of closure to the Board of Game, which has a much more limited mandate and purpose, which has nothing to do with viewing of animals or target shooting and so forth and so on. I guess my dilemma is that I am very bothered by the repealers down below. I have no problem with allowing the Board of Game to close any part of Chugach. I would certainly like to see the Director of Parks equally be able to close any portion of Chugach so that we can protect the area described by the member from Eagle River and those areas that are adjacent to the heavily populated areas. And I am very concerned that this, in fact, would not do that, that we would, in fact, be repealing here all control from the Director of Parks, turning it over to the Board of Game with its limited mandate, and that if we, in fact, adopt this with Chugach in here, we have just given control to the Board of Game. Now, do I understand this correctly, in which case I assume I should go one step further and say I should vote for the amendment to take Chugach out of here so that it remains in the hands of the Director of Parks, or if I vote to take Chugach out, leave Chugach totally unprotected, because we're now in Section 2 repealing the control of the Director of State Parks. Thank you.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I can briefly answer that. There was an amendment that was placed on the Resources Committee and Resources, which did put the concurrence of the Board of Game. But could we have a brief at ease for a second?
House, please stand at ease. Al? Is there further debate on Amendment Number 2? Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I know you've been real patient with this, but in order to compromise and perhaps to solve the problems with the current amendment and the one number 3, I'd like to ask if I may replace my amendment number 2 with the supplemental number 2 that would take care of those that are in the proposed number 3 also.
You want to withdraw amendment number 2?
Yes, the original amendment number 2, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw.
And replace it with a supplemental amendment number 2?
Yes, sir.
You want to move that then and ask unanimous consent?
Mr. Speaker, I so make that motion.
Is there objection?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
He is simply replacing the amendment, and we're not objecting to him replacing the amendment. We're not talking about the merits of the amendment, right?
That's correct. He wants to replace. He wants to withdraw Amendment Number 2 and replace it with a new Amendment Number 2. Yes. Without objection, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the new Amendment Number 2, and we're having it duplicated.
New Amendment Number 2 by Martin, Clarkson, and Lindauer. Page 1, line 15. Delete 5, Chugach State Park. Line 22, delete entire line after or. Line 23, delete Chugach State Park. Line 25, delete AS 41-21-124.
Representative Martin, you want to move that, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move the amendment. Ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. After the good debate, and I certainly want to thank you for allowing such freedom of debate on such a crucial issue, it certainly shows where, when we all open our minds on the floor on any bill, where there may be some wisdoms expressed that had not been heard before. The case we have here is that we're taking care of the problem that the gentleman from Eagle River expressed about the opening up that as a major tourist attraction. And we did put a lot of money in there at the headwaters of the Eklutna waters and the river there. It used to be a major hunting area. It used to be a barroom and tavern up there. Randy grew up in that area. I'm sorry, Representative Phillips. And so we changed the scenario completely so that the average citizen can go up there and really visit wildlife and live with them and take pictures. And that's what the tourist center does. And we do have Girl Scout camps going up there on a regular basis, Boy Scout camps, Boy Club area, skiing group all year round. It's not just in the hunting season that it's used all year round. And that's why we must be extremely careful of Chugach State Park, because more and more people is using that park, of all parks, year-round recreation, year-round climbing, year-round hiking, skiing, camping. And just to allow people to go in there during the hunting season for a discharge of firearms is going to be detrimental to everyone concerned. And, you know, you go up there to visit the animals, to see the animals, to live with Mother Nature, and here's some fellow for some macho idea. I still can't get it in me why people take such great pleasures in destroying animals or squirrels or rabbits. It's just something wrong with that. Maybe I'm not humane enough or animalistic enough for... survival, whatever it was. But I think these amendments now take care of the total problem in the Chugach State Park, which is the most heavily populated and the one that we should be most protective of when we talk about public safety. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm in favor of the amendment. The one technical change is the subsection 5, Chugach State Park, should read subsection 3, Chugach State Park. I assume that code revisor or somebody can fix that up. Mr. Speaker, the effect of the amendment is to restore us to the status quo. The status quo is reflected in AS 4121-124, which says, and I quote, discharge of a firearm is permitted in Chugach State Park when authorized by lawful regulation by the department. That department is the Department of Natural Resources, the Division of Parks. So with that, under that existing authority, they have the authority to close down to the discharge of firearms in residential areas and to close down the discharge of firearms in the Eagle River Valley. They have, in fact, used that statute to allow hunting in certain isolated portions. Again, I don't think that there are problems in Chugach State Park right now, and therefore we shouldn't alter the situation. I encourage the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't heard mentioned yet what the real issue on this bill is, and the real issue is that right now, current statutes, hunting is allowed in most areas of most state parks, but the carrying of firearms is not due to park regulations. This is an attempt to let you carry a firearm in areas of the parks that are open to hunting. It will not in any way degrade those areas of Chugach National Park that are now restricted to the carrying of firearms for the protection of the public. This is merely to clean up existing statutes to where there's a conflict between the Park Service and the Fish and Game, and to repeal this particular statute will, as the barrister from Anchorage says, put it back in the status quo. And that's what we don't want. Now, if you're trying to stop hunting, if you're opposed to hunting and taking of animals, then that's where you'd be coming from, I guess. But if you believe that we should maintain a right to hunt animals in Alaska for the hunters, then we've got to leave the bill unamended. And if I may, as a side, there is a strong conflict of interest, it looks to me like. We did a lot of debate on this floor about wanting $12 million to do something with the Anchorage Eagle River Road because of an excess of moose. Now, I don't believe that it is conducive to a population to encourage a large population of large animals, because it creates just the kind of problem that was debated on this floor along the Eagle River Anchorage Road. And if you're going to stop hunting in that area, that problem is going to compound itself no end. This is an opportunity to help solve part of that problem. I think we should pass the bill unamended.
Representative Lindar?
Yes. Mr. Speaker, with all due respects to the previous speaker, I don't believe that all the members of the delegation from Anchorage, certainly I do not think that the answer to having moose crossing the road is to extend the hunting season or hunting territory in order to mow them down so that they won't be available to cross the road. Quite the contrary, they are a very valuable tourist attraction. They are part of our heritage and ought to be available, and I think that we should adopt this amendment. What we should not be doing is extending hunting in the Chugach Park without the concurrence of the Director of Parks. We have more and more people going in there. If anything, we ought to be cutting it back, but we certainly should not be extending it, and we particularly should not be extending it in those areas immediately adjacent to the highways, particularly for the purpose of controlling moose who are crossing over the road. I certainly urge the members to vote for this. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Just a final comment, Mr. Speaker. The member from Fairbanks indicated that the status quo is not acceptable. I think we have discovered that the status quo is acceptable with regard to this park, and that's why the amendment only applies to this park. If, according to the information he has and the sponsors of this legislation, the status quo is not acceptable in other areas, that's fine. We think it's just fine in Chugach State Park.
Representative Szymanski.
A quick question to the makers of the amendment. Okay, if I understand what status quo is, then if the Department of Fish and Game has a hunting area that is identified and which would, you know, would be remote and it would be a good hunting area, and they want to open it up for hunting this next year, whether through permit, drawing, whatever, and they wanted to use the or allow the discharging of firearms as a part of that rather than the bow hunting practice which we saw last year,
amount of.
Are you saying then that the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks Director, would have the ultimate say-so as to whether or not that hunting could or could not take place if this amendment is adopted?
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, that is correct. There are two additional criteria besides the hunting that are in this bill. One of the criteria is public safety. The other is the public display of wildlife. Those are two considerations that the Board of Game does not have. I might note, when we talk about the status quo, the fact is that that cooperation has worked in Chugach State Park, and in fact, the discharge of firearms and hunting are both allowed in isolated portions of Chugach State Park. So we don't think there's a problem. The cooperation has occurred. Everything's going along fine. Let's not change the statute.
Mr. Speaker, if I may respond to the maker of the amendment then. Currently, regulations prohibit the discharge of firearms. The State Department of Parks has regulations, which they have recently promulgated, I think as early as 3 weeks ago in draft form, would, if adopted, allow them to open up and allow the discharge of firearms. But if the Department of Fish and Game tomorrow, or the Board of Game decided to go in there tomorrow and move for a hunting, it's currently prohibited by firearms today on the regulations that are currently adopted. So they're going to have to change the regulations. And what I hear the proponents or the sponsors of this legislation saying is, and I actually hear the Department of Natural Resources Parks Division saying, is that they would like to have the ability to have the discharge of firearms for hunting practices allowed in the parks, because that's exactly what I think that their draft regulations are saying. And I've never heard anybody really dispute it. Matter of fact, I've heard the Department of Parks Director indicate he supports that. And all we would be doing if we adopted the legislation unamended is endorsing what both the Department of Fish and Game and what the Department of Natural Resources Parks Division has encouraged us to do as of this date. And I tend to believe that going back to the status quo would not be allowing us the hunting privileges that I think many Alaskans would like to see, because currently it's prohibited. If you pull out your regulations, you'll see that the Department of Fish and Game cannot allow any portion of that area within the park to be hunted tomorrow with firearms. It's prohibited.
Give this to Al. Representative Gaw.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just before commenting, I just want to clarify the remarks of the previous speaker. Did I understand the last statement to be that under existing law, hunting in Chugach State Park cannot be permitted?
Representative Szymanski?
That is by firearms. Today, you cannot discharge a firearm by current regulation in Chugach State Park. And I believe that's an error, and it should be corrected, and that's what I believe the legislation is really doing. And to go back to status quo, I'm not in favor of at this time.
Representative Gaul?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would have to differ with the previous speaker. It certainly is permissible under the law for this sort of hunting to take place. If it has been prohibited by regulation, that prohibition could still take place under either this law or any version of this law that we've seen so far.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I believe that the previous speaker from representative from Anchorage is partially incorrect. The representative from Haines is correct, I believe. The fact is that currently, regulations at any time can be adopted, which will allow hunting to occur depending on the public interest. And apparently, according to the speaker from Anchorage, such regulations are in the process of being promulgated. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. My problem is that if we don't amend this, we're going to allow hunting in Chugach that can be closed with the concurrence of Fish and Game. So we're turning total control of Chugach hunting over to Fish and Game, which does not have, as part of its statutory requirements, either the purposes of public safety or the public display of local wildlife, both of which are very important for state parks, which are immediately adjacent to highly urbanized areas. What this legislation is doing is turning control of the park over to Fish and Game, the Board of Game, rather. I think that we should not turn it over to the Board of Game. I think that we're all, as representatives from Anchorage, generally satisfied with the management of that park. I have had no complaints with the management of that park. Quite the contrary. As the representative from downtown pointed out, there seems to be close cooperation. We don't in any way wish to impose the experiences of Chugach onto the other state parks, but by the very same token, in this highly urbanized area, we don't think that the experiences of the other state parks or the changes appropriate for them should be imposed on this highly urbanized, in certain areas, state park. Thank you.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make mine brief here. Let's look at the regulations at Chugach State Park. I'm not too familiar with the other state parks, but they do allow hunting in at Chugach State Park. No plinking, no target shooting. That's completely verboten. No way. I oppose the amendment, and I'll tell you why. Because this, it lists out number 5, Chugach State Park, and it comes down here at the bottom. It lists as for limited areas of the Chugach State Park for public display. That really should be public viewing instead of display. Display to me when you got an animal in a pen out there or something. But they're viewing when they're on a mountainside. But anyway, I think you could probably read into that. But I don't. And to answer the representative from Fairbanks, the Eagle River Valley is not swarming with moose, for his own information. I'm not talking about the Glen Highway. We're talking about Eagle River Valley. Pretty highly, heavily developed in the valley, almost all the way clear up to the viewing center, the state viewing center, Chugach State Park. So public safety there outlaws the hunting of big game in that area anyway. What we're speaking of here, I think what the director of park is trying to do is to get a viewing area from the visitor center. I think if we tamper with this bill any more than what it is right now, I think you're gonna gut the bill and it's not gonna do what we expect it to do. So I would definitely have prefer the members to vote against the amendment.
Question. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, one brief comment in relation to the remarks were just made from the gentleman from Anchorage. I realize that the purpose of this bill is not to allow plinking and practice shooting wherever anybody wants to. But the passage of this bill, Mr. Speaker, I'm convinced will do exactly that. If you read it carefully, it says the discharge of firearms. It doesn't say hunting. It says the discharge of firearms during lawful hunting, trapping, and fishing is permitted within the boundaries of Chugach State Park. I don't know. I think that language is sufficiently vague, to me at least, that you could go in there, you know, during a hunting season, and you could discharge your firearm anytime you wanted to, almost any place, except, you know, obviously the latter part of the bill there would protect it in heavily congested areas. But I think if you were out in any place else, you could just discharge your firearms till the cows come home or the moose go away, whichever the case may be. I think that the just still one more reason to vote for this amendment.
Representative Mark.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I hate to keep counting my friend from Eagle River, but I feel that we're both very familiar with that Eagle River Viewing Center. It may be that the public board of game, for whatever motivations they have, may very well close down the visitor centers from viewing the animals and wildlife, saying, well, for public safety purposes, we're going to allow the hunters to take over for a month or 2 months and decrease that moose population or what other wildlife population we want to decrease so they won't migrate to Glen Highway. It's not beyond their type of thinking to do that. And I feel that the balanced approach that's in law now with DNR and the director of parks with the board of game is the best approach. Right now, the bill allows board and game to have the absolute final say-so of what goes on at Chugach State Park, and I wouldn't be pleased with that at all.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2? To the House Resources Committee, substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yes to no, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fritz from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
15 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to adopt amendment number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Lindauer. Page 1, delete lines 23, 24, 25 and replace with the words, or for the public display of local wildlife under AS 4121-121. It has been duplicated and placed on each member.
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 3.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, once again we come down to the question of shall Chugach State Park be controlled by Fish and Game for the purpose of controlling hunters, or shall it be a multi-purpose park under the control of the Department of Natural Resources, and particularly of the Board of Parks? To change the status quo so dramatically, to give control of hunting and shooting in that area to the Board of Game, makes no sense. We don't have a problem, and we're fixing it rather dramatically, and all the possible scenarios get worse instead of better. Right now, we can have hunting in the park. Right now, we have viewing. Right now, we have protection right up to the roads as regulations are given. There is no reason whatsoever to turn everything over to the final say of the Board of Game, whose interest is primarily going to be to see that the moose gets shot instead of being viewed or being in a safe area for people to visit and to hike and so forth. That is an urban, in many areas, it is an urban park with thousands and tens of thousands of viewers constantly. The regulations that are appropriate for a rural area are not appropriate for that area, and I would hope that the members would adopt this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment. We have to give the Board of Game some authority. Now, I talked to the Fish and Game here this past week, and they claim they've got over 1,700 sheep in that park. They got so many sheep in there now that they're probably going to have to start shooting ewes. When it gets to that state of affairs, it's I disagree with the biologists and their counts, but that's an awful lot of sheep for that amount of area there. So we have to give a controlling agency on the harvesting of game. If you take it away from them, you end up like you have in the National Park in McKinley right now. You got game that lives in there, they're born there, they grew up there, they're viewed there by the visitors from all over the 50 states and what have you, and they die there. And that's what you're going to have in a Chugach State Park or any state park if you don't allow harvesting in there. So you have to give it to an agency that can manage the game within a park. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 3 to the House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
11 yeas, 25 nays.
House has failed to adopt amendment number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 4, by Mr. Euling. Page 1, line 22. Delete with the concurrence of the Board of Game. It is on each member's desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Euling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 4 be adopted. Basically, what this would do, Mr. Speaker, would put the bill back in its original form before it was in the Resources Committee. It would take out the concurrence of the Board of Game between the Parks Department, the Department of Natural Resources, and the other fish and game groups of people. They would still be able to work those efforts out. I think you still have to have in most of the other information on line 22 and 23 in regard to four limited areas of the Chugach State Park for public display, and also listed up on line 15, and keep that Chugach State Park inclusion on number 3 on line 15. So these things can still be worked out. They've been worked out, as was mentioned by the other representative from downtown, and under regulation. However, you are going to be taking and deleting regulations out of section 2 on line 25. So I think it's necessary to still have that in there. I think they can work the problems out between the Department of Natural Resources, Parks Department, and the other agencies without having to put in there the concurrence of the Board of Game by giving them a special line there. I think you're going to give that overweight to the Board of Game. They can still work those things out, and I hope everybody will vote for it.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Liska?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And right back to as against the other amendment, what do we got here? The Department of Fish and Game, they manage the game. Their biologists make them available for the residents of this state to harvest them. The Board of Game is one to adopt the regulations for taking that game. So, Kurt.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4 to the House Resources Committee Substitute? Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
13 yeas, 23 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 4. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 5 by Mr. Lindauer. Page 1, line 26. Delete AS 41-21-124.
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 5.
There is objection, Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, with this bill going as it is, we are apparently ending, or it appeared to be ending, the Eagle River Viewing Center and ending the much of the use of this park by opening it up to uncontrolled hunting, except as decided by the Board of Game. AS 41-21-124 is the language which authorizes the Department of Natural Resources to establish regulations for the use of the park. If we take this out, we have just given control of Chugach to the Board of Game, which means, as far as I can tell, the end of active tourism and who's going to want to go wandering up there without any controls or regulations whatsoever. It means the end of the viewing center. It probably means an extremely adverse impact on the further development of Eagle River. There must be some regulation or some authorization for a responsible body to put regulations into effect. AS 41-21-124 is the language which allows regulations to be promulgated for the Chugach Park. If we have removed that, we have just turned over the Chugach Park to the Board of Game for the sole purpose of hunting, and it would be one of the greatest steps backwards in the development and prosperity of the Anchorage area I could conceive of. Thank you.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe the representative from downtown Anchorage did correctly read 41-21-124, discharge of firearms. Discharge of a firearm is permitted in Chugach State Park when authorized by lawful regulation by the department. I would speak against the amendment.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Martin?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I think I agree with the amendment. But then now I'm thinking, see, the gentleman from Eagle River, that's his area, and I'm wondering, why does he keep on telling us about the beauty of life up there and animals and sheep and the ewes and how they live and how they eventually die like Mother Nature and man and evolution? But somehow or ever, I guess we want to send hundreds of animals, well, human animals, in there to shoot them up. You know, something's wrong with these beautiful animals living the way they're doing up in Denali State Park, McKinley State Park. But we don't like that in the Chugach area. It seems to me that perhaps we should close down that viewing station then at Eagle River instead of a visitor center, make it a hunting area. Because we'll probably save hundreds of thousands of dollars from our fish and game people having to fly elsewhere in the state to view hunters. The foreign tourist people that come in from Germany, European countries, they won't have to go as far out because we can just drive them to Eagle River Base and let them off at the busloads come up. And it may be some value in opening that up to a massive wild hunting area rather than just for viewing. So if you want to open up area for hunting, vote against this. If you wanted a nice local area for our people that live in Anchorage for viewing wildlife, I'd vote for this amendment.
Representative Pestinger?
Pestinger, huh?
Oh, excuse me. Representative Szymanski?
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I guess I got to go back to a couple of the attorneys here and try to figure out exactly what we're doing here, because I've got maybe a little different angle on it than what other people have with regard to the amendment. If 4121-124 is repealed, which I interpret to be the general or generic authority to allow authorization for hunting in state parks, what we're then replacing it with is this new section 2102-2, which is the authorization for these specific parks. And if I understand it correctly, then only these specified parks would ever have the ability to have authorized hunting within them. If that's what's happening. Maybe one of my learned counsels can tell me whether or not that's right. But that's what I understand to be taking place. If indeed we repeal that section, the only way that you're going to authorize, the only authorization for hunting is in those specified in this new section that we're creating. Is that right? I'm kind of looking at the distinguished counsel of the third counsel.
Representative Lindar?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, that's not exactly right. AS 4121-124 is the statute that allows discharge of firearms to be regulated in the Chugach Park only. Therefore, the only thing we're doing by deleting this is allowing that standing regulation to stand so that the Department of Natural Resources can regulate the discharge of firearms. If we delete this, that means that the control goes back by the wording of the concurrence of the Board of Game, the control of the discharge of firearms in Chugach Park will go to the Board of Game. Now, if you want up by the Eagle River viewing area, the Board of Game to control it, or do you want the Department of Natural Resources to control it? For those of us who think that visitors might profit from going there and people from our districts might like to go hiking there, we think that maybe it should be broadly done for purposes of visitors and tourism and so forth and viewing. If you believe that the animals are there merely to be shot, then of course you should vote against the amendment.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the clarification, and based on that, I'm opposed to the amendment because, in essence, because I don't have the statutes in front of me, if he's correct, then all we're doing is substituting it. And there would be no sense in having basically two contradictory statutes on the books, so there would be no reason if you're indeed we're going to pass 21022, we should repeal 124. There's no question about it. Otherwise, it would just be muddying up the water. So I guess I'm just opposed to the amendment based on that. Thank you.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with my representative from South Anchorage. The repeal of 4121-124, you might as well just close the whole Chugach State Park for all hunting. I urge the member to vote against the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been looking at the statutes, and I actually don't think there's going to make that much difference one way or the other. The only difference, it's not going to close. If you vote for this, you're not going to close the Chugach State Park. As the representative made the amendment, all it's going to do is say that they have to have the concurrence of the Board of Game. That's the only thing that this amendment's going to do.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 5 to the House Resources Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
12 yeas, 26 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 5. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Any Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 289, Resources Amended House, considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final pass.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 289, Resources, amended House by the Resources Committee. An act relating to discharge of firearms and hunting and fishing in state parks, marine parks, wildlife preserves, and recreation areas, and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Gall?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak just for a moment in opposition to the bill. In existing statutes today, we have language which provides for the discharge of firearms in Chugach State Park, Kachemak Bay State Park, Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park, the Marine Parks, and I believe also the Quartz Lake State Recreation Area. I know for a fact that the newly added Cane's Head State Recreation Area, newly added to this bill, and Chena River, Denali, and Wood Tikchik are not covered under existing regulation or existing statute. So I'd like to repeat just briefly that with the exception of number 1, 2, 4, and 11, which I guess has been renumbered, but on this draft before me, 1, 2, 4, and 11, those parks could certainly stand with or could do with this sort of a change if this is what the body desires to do, which is open up these parks for hunting. But the others don't really require this bill, and I don't believe they should be in here at all. Secondly, another problem with the bill has to do with the ability of the Department of Natural Resources to regulate the use of these parks, not only with regard to public safety, but with regard to various and competing land uses. At this time, DNR holds a rather large amount of land in the state, nothing compared to the federal government, of course, but still a large amount of real estate, and only a very tiny percentage of that state-owned real estate is in parks. That's different from the situation in federal land, where, as you know, there's a good deal of federal park and wilderness land in the state. But our state park land, compared to our other state-owned land, is really a very small percentage. It seems that it is appropriate to limit the use of park land to uses that are compatible with park use and to protect uses, such as wildlife viewing, which are unprotected on other lands. For those two reasons, I think the existing regulations are satisfactory and the existing law is satisfactory. And if we are planning to open up these four specific areas, Cane's Head, Chena River, Denali, and Wood Tikchik, to the discharge of firearms by statute, we should simply do that rather than create a great deal of confusion and multiple jurisdiction, multiple regulation type situations as we're doing with this bill. In other words, most of the material in the bill is already covered in existing statute. The material which is not could be. And the concept of going by statute and overriding park regulations is not in the interest of the state or the park system. I therefore oppose the bill.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask a question of the resource chairman, if possible, before we vote on the legislation. Two questions. One of them is why the trapping is in the body of the bill and not in the title. And then the second one would be is what is the current status of hunting at the Chena Lakes Recreational Area as of Friday, and what would it be? As I understand it, just opened this weekend for the first time. So are there any regulations on it? The previous speaker had indicated there weren't, but there must have been. Does the Resource Committee know what the ground is currently classified, since it has just opened, the 260-acre lake up there, and also what the purpose of trapping was in there within the body of the language and not in the title, and are if he knows that.
Representative Ringstad.
As for the trapping, well, it's not in the title. It wasn't needed in the title and just didn't get included. The Chena Recreation Regulations, I haven't gone through and read those. That's our new recreation area up there, and we just got it opened up, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what they are.
Representative Miller.
Make an inquiry, Mr. Speaker. Was trapping in the original Senate bill?
Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have some information on this before we vote on this legislation, and that has to do with one of the repealers, 4121306, which repeal, that's Section B, says discharge of firearms is permitted in state-owned land and water described in AS 4121304 unless land or water is closed by regulation of the commissioner, And it lays out quite a bit of area that was permitted at one time, and this has been repealed. So it looks like we're closing quite a bit of area to hunting or discharge of firearms. And I just wonder if someone has the answer on why we're doing that.
We have two questions pending. Representative Ringstead?
The question asked by the minority leader is, yes, the trapping was in the Senate bill.
Question. Representative Miller?
In the text of the Senate bill, the trapping was in there?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question. Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Davis?
I assume nobody has the answer to that question.
That's what I assume. Question is, shall the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Flood?
Yes, no.
Representative Flood from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 13 nays.
The House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes, would you move the effective
Speaker.
Date?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like in 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 289, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 2 nays.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Will the House, Representative Miller?
Speaker, can we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, a couple of constituents, good friends of mine, Jim and Jerry Deacon.
Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on the House Committee substitute for the CS for Senate Bill number 289, Resources.
Representative Lindauer has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 289. Before I ask the majority leader for a motion to recess until 1:30, I would like to make a comment regarding what day we are recognizing today. So, although we're still in session, as you know, today is Memorial Day, and I believe that this occasion should not only remind us of those who died serving our country, but it should also remind us to appreciate what we have in times of peace and how willing our predecessors were to risk their lives to protect this heritage. So in honor of this occasion and before we recess, I think it would be appropriate if we would stand in a moment of silence in memory and in recognition of that freedom we enjoy today because of that sacrifice. Any announcements before the motion to recess, Representative Fuller? Representative Cowdery?
Yes.
We had scheduled to hear Senate Bill 532. It's relating to taxation at 2 p.m., but since we're coming back in at 1:30, I will hold that on adjournment for today after this afternoon's hearing at room 209 in the Barrens.
Representative Adams?
Yes, House Finance will have a House Finance meeting at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning with the list of bills on the calendar, plus we'll have probably a supplemental calendar once we see what the Senate is doing this afternoon.
Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking of the House Democratic Caucus during the recess, let's say 10 minutes after the recess is adopted by the House.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 1:30.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 1:30 p.m.